Okay, good morning, everyone. So great to be with you, and fantastic to see lots of guests. And I'm super excited. Seven people, they are going to get baptized. Woohoo! That's exciting. And a couple of Sundays back, nine people got baptized, and we are still a good number of people waiting to get baptized. You know, so we said, no, now, you know, just wait. Happy birthday, Alex. Yeah. Can you pass some water to your brother, please? Yeah. Good, good. That's the biggest shock for him, you know. He never forget that one. Yeah. Brilliant. Quickly, I will be going through a couple of things regarding baptism, then we will be joining the exciting moment of people getting baptized. So what is baptism, you know? So many times people heard this word, getting baptized, baptism, and different cultures, different churches, different denominations, different religions have different interpretation of baptism. But today we will be looking at what actually the scripture says, why people and why especially Christians get baptized. So baptism means faith made visible. One statement, you know. So one of the ways, so we can explain in multiple ways. You can go to Romans, Colossians. I'm not going there. Simply, we can put that one, faith made visible. That is a baptism. So some of you might ask a question, why people are getting baptized today? What is the biggest deal for this one? You know, if you believe in Jesus, just get along. But something significant in getting baptizing, you know, so we'll look at getting baptized, you know, we will look into that one later. So it's not a ritual. I'm coming from India, so, and in a country, people go to rivers or river Ganges, you know, so to wash their sins away. They think once a year, they think they will go to this pilgrim walk and go to one of the rivers, and they and dip in, dip out, lots of, you know, so pujas and everything, and they think they will feel holy. So baptism is culturally represented in different ways, you know. But for Christianity, it's not a ritual like that, you know. So it's not like when you're going under, your sins will be washed. It's very different from that one. So it is actually a declaration of a covenant we made with God and God made with us, you know. So this is a demonstration of a covenant. So that means baptism equal to faith expressed in action, because we experience something from God, and we are, you know, on the back of that, what is actually God has done for us, and we are, we will get baptized. You might be asking, what did he do that one, and why did he do that one? So, you know, to understand that one, let's look at Acts chapter 8. I'm not going to read the whole passage, you know, so it's Acts chapter 8, verse 26 onwards, you know. So I will give you the introduction of that story, then I will read some specific passages to save time. So when you get time, feel free to read Acts chapter 8. So this is, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip. Philip was a disciple of Jesus, and go south to the road. He didn't have any clue what he's supposed to do. The desert road from goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met with an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all treasury of Kandake, or that means queen of Ethiopia. You know? So this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So he was a religious man. He's gone from all the way from Ethiopia, he went all the way to Jerusalem, because we didn't even know that, whether he was a Jew or he was a Gentile, but he was someone very, very important, or I will say a minister of treasury, or someone very important, and he traveled all the way by understanding the importance of worshiping God. And on his way back, what he was doing, he was reading and something from the scriptures. So especially he was reading from the book of Isaiah. So it's not like a book like that at that time. It might be scrolls. And in order to have that scroll in his hand, that shows he was wealthy, you know. So many people, they don't have the privilege of having this scroll in their hand. That's why they go to places they can borrow it and read. But this person, he held it in his hand, and rather than listening to a podcast, sorry, there was no podcast at that time, so he decided to read this passage. You know, he was just so curious. The Spirit told Philip, go to the chariot and stay near it, you know. So, and he was just walking very near to this chariot. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. And he asked the question, probably, I don't know how much it was a slow-paced chariot movement. Otherwise, he will be, can you understand what you're reading? You know, so probably it was a bumpy road, you know. Probably that's why the speed of the chariot was very slow. He asked again, do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. Probably he heard what he was talking. He understood. This is book of Isaiah. He was very familiar with that scripture. And he asked, do you understand? Philip asked. His answer was a very genuine answer. How can I? He asked, unless someone explained to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. That's cool, you know. So maybe next time if you want a lift, you know, so ask someone, do you understand what you're doing? They might give you a lift, you know. So it's a good opportunity. He was able to sit with that official. There's an element of trust there, you know. It's just a random guy running alongside the chariots, inviting to a minister's chariot. It is a big risk he was taking. So then they were going through this passage. This is the passage of the scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. It's a very intense, graphic image of slaughtering a lamb, taken away from the earth, injustice. It's not an exciting story. It's a gruesome story was read through that book of Isaiah. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, who is the prophet talking about? He's talking about himself, and he's talking about himself or someone else. Then Philip began with that very passage of the scripture, told him the good news about Jesus. I presume that's the only way, that's the only line being mentioned. You don't know what kind of theological explanation he did. We don't know how long that went through. We don't know. We went to different passage of the scripture, maybe in order to summarize the whole intensity of that conversation. It's summarized in one line or two lines. What they say, they said, you know, so then Philip began with that very passage of the scripture and told him the good news. Can you say that together? The good news about Jesus. But what is the good news? He's just reading up there. He was like asleep to be, you know, slaughtered. There is no justice. He was taken away. What is the good news in that passage? I can't see any good news when you're reading a passage like this. It's so grim and graphic and so sad. But there was good news. What is the good news? In the Old Testament, when somebody does something mistake or sin, there was a, something God placed as an offering or something needs to be done for the forgiveness of the sin. So what needs to do that one? For example, in the Old Testament, I did something wrong, so I can go to the priest or to the temple or to the place of worship. I can buy a lamb. I can say, I'm a sinner, but, you know, so I want to atone, or I want to say sorry to God. Help me. So the priest will come and bring a sheep or lamb and lay hands, you know. So this is summarizing what I'm trying to say. So there is someone else. This lamb is going to die instead of this man or woman is going to die, you know. So that's the way the blood of this animal is representing, you know, so the sacrifice for or the atonement of this sinner. And he can go home with a good conscience knowing that one, I'm supposed to die, but in my place, this sheep died as an atonement. So he can go, thank God, I'm the one supposed to die, but somebody came and died in my place. But it went on and on and on, but that was not enough. That is why Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, came down to this earth to literally fulfill, not an animal's death is not enough to atone or to save us from our sin. Somebody needs to die equivalent to us. A man needs to die for a man. So that's why God became man and he died in my place. He died in your place, like the lamb was died in the place of that person, so that I can walk away and have a pure conscience. But I don't know if Philip explained all these bits there. Then Philip began with the very passage of the scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is water. What can stand in the way of being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariots. Then they both, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. He is a different man. Before, he was a confused man. He was a kind of a lost man. He was reading the scripture. He was not able to understand what is that all about. Now, he's understood something. What is the greatest good news he understood? I don't need to live in my sin anymore, because like the lamb died in someone else's place, here, Jesus, the Lamb of God, died in my place so that I can be free. Then, that means I want to demonstrate my joy and my covenant, my relationship with him. So I want to die with him so that I can live with him. So he said, I want to die. So that's the way, symbolically, that's the place he was stopped. July 12th, me and my wife got married. It's nearly 17 years, I think. Am I correct? Over 17 years, you know. So when it's coming to date and time, you know, so I'll check with my wife. Okay. At the time of marriage, it was exciting. There are 1,200 people, and we fed everyone, and we had a great time. But one time I remember picking up something. It's this one. What is this one? It's a ring. It's a ring. So I took this ring and I gave a ring and I put on her finger. And also I received a ring. What does that really mean? Did that ring made us married? Yes or no? No.
kind of, we can say that one. Why that ring came to that place? Because of the covenant, because of the commitment, because of our desire to live together, it was demonstrated through this one. So, ring does not make you married, the covenant make you married. The same way, baptism won't save you, but baptism is the demonstration of that covenant. It's so exciting. It's not just going inside and coming out. It is a prophetic proclamation of what God has done for us. That is why millions of people or thousands of people will be killed if they share with other people they are going to get baptized. I have seen that many, many times. People reading the Bible is not a big problem. People exploring Christianity is not a problem. But when people decided to get baptized, even including myself, I was excommunicated from a big community of 1,000 people because I decided to get baptized. I was thinking, why is that so important? Then I understood that proclamation of my faith in Him is a prophetic proclamation. What Jesus has done for me. I'm going to finish now by reading Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. In baptism, we are buried with Him. I can't see that one. Okay, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith, the faith in working of God who raised Him. There is a small little picture there on the PowerPoint that clearly say Jesus died on the cross and He was buried. On the third day He rose again. In baptism, what am I doing? I'm saying Jesus died for my sin and I want to be part of that death and resurrection, because I don't want to live my old ways at all. That is deadly and that's not going to give me any life. But now I can be alive in Christ, so I want to be joining with Christ. How am I going to do that one? My faith in God is expressed through this obedience going down into the water and coming up. That is why baptism is so beautiful. I'm going to finish with a question. Who would like to get baptized? Who would like to get baptized, you know? It's free. Because Jesus died in my place. That's the only way I can walk without guilt or condemnation, because He is the sinless Lamb of God, died in my place. Who would like to get baptized? Or the next question is, what is stopping you getting baptized? Just have a question to yourself. If you never baptized by believing in Jesus, you know, say, I'm not talking about when you were getting baptized as a child, you didn't even know that one. I'm talking about decided to follow Jesus and I made my decision to follow Him and I want to demonstrate that through obedience. So who would like to get baptized? Come and talk to us. If you're thinking, I want to get baptized, but I need some help, come and talk to us. Let's pray.